Okay, so hello. This is the second episode of Alex and Pals. It's been a while actually. It's been about 6 weeks. But here we are. It wasn't just a flash in the pan. My guest today is Danielle Warden.
Hi.
This is, we're going to talk about some stuff, some general interest, some specific interest, just some things. So hi Danielle, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself first, like who are you, what you're up to?
Hi everyone, I know Alex because we studied law together at university, so I've known Alex for 5 years, 4 years?
Yeah, like close to.
Yeah, it's quite a long time.
Wow.
I graduated, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So I graduated a year after Alex because I did a year abroad, and he's been working in real life a year longer than me, and I'm just
good fun.
So I've started working, but I want to stop and do some more studying.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm in a weird limbo.
Wow. Okay. What are you working on right now?
Some law stuff.
Yeah. Cool. How much do you like law?
I really like law. I love law.
Do you
in
love
fact,
law?
I kind of want to be an academic so I can just study all the time.
I mean, do you have any credentials? Have you ever been published?
I got published this one time.
Yeah, Danielle Warden got published in the International Journal of Human Rights. What was your paper entitled?
It was entitled "Sex Trafficking Towards a Human Rights Paradigm."
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was it.
I sound a lot more intelligent in writing than I do in real life.
Valid.
Struggle to pronounce some words.
But should we hold people to that standard?
No.
Wow, simple.
Would be me like,
great, we're done. Okay, good. So, sex trafficking towards a human rights paradigm. What do you mean by that?
So what I mean is that currently...
This is actually a book plug, this episode. by the International Journal of Human Rights. Danielle gets none of the profits.
Basically.
No, but tell us about it.
So the law is shit. Overall, that's basically...
I thought you loved the law.
Yeah, okay, let me clarify. The anti-trafficking legal regime on an international basis and on a domestic basis in the UK is shit. Even though we just had, relatively recently, a new law introduced in 2015, the Modern Slavery Act, which is meant to stop being as shit, and it's not. So the issue is that the international legal regime and the Modern Slavery Act, they take a criminal justice approach. So the focus is on punishing people for trafficking, which obviously is important. You should be punished if you traffic someone. But that alone is not going to stop trafficking, because the risk of getting caught and actually being prosecuted is so low that the costs of selling a human as a commodity, the benefits outweigh the risks.
Yep, which is bullshit.
So it's just never gonna stop it.
How many people get trafficked, do we know?
We don't know, but in 2016, for example, in the UK, 13,000 people got trafficked. And that are just those that are formally identified as survivors of trafficking.
Sick.
So many people never come forward, they just die in trafficking.
Yep.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a lot of cunts.
Yeah.
So... The law is obviously not doing very well because, so what do we do then? What's your big suggestion?
So the issue is right now that approach, it focuses on criminalising private behaviour of individuals. What we really need to do is put the obligations on the states, because even in the UK, we know trafficking is happening and we're not doing enough to stop it. But there are so many other states that could do so much more than we are.
Yeah.
And they just don't, because they have no reason to, because for a lot of them, it's not their priority. Because they're very poor.
Fair.
They have high HIV risks. They have drug trafficking that they see as a bigger issue. They just have criminal behaviour. In general, that is such an issue that human trafficking, for some reason, isn't up there. So under a human rights approach, the obligation will fall on the states.
Yeah.
But I'm not proposing that these individual states take it upon themselves to fix it. Because, as I said, a lot of... the time they just don't have the resources.
Yeah.
So it needs to be kind of an international approach where states work together.
That's why you were published in the International Journal.
International Journal rather than the non-international journal.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's a very straightforward idea.
Yeah, it seems pretty simple. Like, in short, governments could start being
together.
Helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Work together, recognise that there's an issue.
Nice.
Yeah.
No.
So no, I don't know why no one said it before.
Yeah. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, I did look into it and...
And they just, they hadn't...
No, and that's why someone published me, because they were like, this is a good idea, but I don't...
Wow. This is an idea. Danielle's had this idea for the first time in the history of the world.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
That actually is fucking weird.
That is weird,
that's fucking
it?
Weird,
I
actually.
I had an idea that no one had. But
yeah.
So many...
Whoa!
I wonder how many original ideas we have on a daily basis.
I mean, I guess must have some. Like, yeah, even just some of our, like, little random things, just like, oh, look at that, like, you know.
Yeah, like, 2 days ago I was thinking it would be so much better to be a dog, because then you don't have to pay for tube transport. I wonder how many people have thought that.
Yeah, actually, because, I mean, I was going to say, lots of people probably have had the idea it would be better to be a dog.
Yeah.
But specifically because you wouldn't have to pay for the tube. Yeah. Interesting approach, yeah. I mean, really, you're looking at everything with just, you know, brand new eyes.
Yeah.
Is that a Paramore song, Brand New Eyes?
Could be. I don't know, you're the Paramore...
I am the Paramore... Yeah, well, I mean, I'm going to say I'm the Paramore expert, but I'm clearly fucking up right now. Okay, anyway. Yeah, I wonder, yeah. But, so, original thought, basically, and...
Original thought.
We should just start finding states and fucking states up if they aren't actually doing anything to save trafficking victims.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, okay. I mean, that one seems fairly simple.
It really
So this is our first kind of, I guess, conclusion of this podcast then. Last time with Henry, some of you may remember we concluded that America was shit. First conclusion here is that governments are shit.
Governments in general are shit.
Wow, who's surprised? Are you surprised?
Not really, no.
No, me neither. No. Me
it's disappointing,
neither.
But...
Case in point, I guess, Theresa May and the Conservatives.
Yeah.
Well, the Conservatives especially.
Cunts.
Rather than, say, saving, you know, victims who have come here, you know, through trafficking... We just decided to kick out legal migrants the other day, didn't we? That was really nice.
That was
fun. The Windrush generation, how many people did we kick out? Do we know?
I'm not sure.
Just tons?
Yeah.
Yeah, not very fucking nice.
And then Amber Rudd. What was that?
Amber
she said
Rudd's
sorry.
A scumbag.
But lol, not my fault. Was the officials.
Yeah.
The poor people who were doing what she said. It's their fault.
It's almost as if they were like, you know, just what following the policy set out by the Home Office. I mean, how weird. Imagine working in the civil service and doing what your bosses told you to do.
No.
Gosh, twats.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I mean, it's clearly their fault.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
No. So good times. We also hate the Tories.
Yeah. Conclusion number two.
Yeah, conclusion number two. I think that's
pretty
good.
Hate them.
Yep, hate them. Okay, so, yeah, cool. And trafficking. Who gets trafficked?
So
what happens to these people?
In the UK...
Like, I feel this issue is often conflated with...
sex work.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people's pretty negative views on that.
Yeah, so it's a hard one, actually, drawing a distinction. And that is something a lot of... It's kind of subjective or... I don't know, it's hard to draw a clear-cut line, but basically...
Well.
I'm vegan.
Oh, lol.
Yeah.
Fuck, okay.
Alex just offered me animal product.
It was like chocolate, but chocolate obviously contains milk, whoops. Yeah, well, I'm going to have a twirl and drink some red wine. Dan's just going to have red wine.
Be jealous of the twirl.
Yep, okay, carry on.
So yeah, the main kind of...
I eat chocolate very rarely, this is actually quite special.
Yeah, I've never seen
you're
you
welcome.
Eat chocolate.
Yep.
Ever.
I haven't had much of food
that
today, I had a salad
ever.
For lunch and like a very small breakfast. C'est la vie, you know, carry on. Conflation with sex work.
Conflation, yeah. So the difference between the two is that sex work is a consensual choice. Trafficking.
But do you think so? Can a woman really consent to sex work, Danielle Warden, in the patriarchal bounds of our world?
I think she can. So.
Yeah, me too. I definitely do too.
Mr. Devil's advocate.
Well, yeah, I didn't mean it in a devil's advocate way. I meant it in a let's explain for.
Yeah, I'm going to explain.
Yeah. No, I know, sorry.
In my paper, and I guess this is me kind of cheating, but I defined sex trafficking as there needs to be an element of coercion there.
Okay.
But what I did was, I kind of cheated, because I said that socioeconomic coercion doesn't count. So I said that the coercion needs to be from another individual. So it doesn't need to be physical, but it needs to be them saying, I'm going to take your passport and not give it back. So they'll say, okay, we're going to offer you a job. We're going to take you to England. You're going to work as a hairdresser. They'll get there. Their passport will have been confiscated. And then they'll say, you owe us X amount for transporting you here. You're here illegally. If you go to the police, they will deport you. Your family will be in trouble. You're going to get arrested. You're going to just be sent back here anywhere through us. So they are just so vulnerable and so scared in a country that they might not have ever been. They don't speak the native language. Yeah. They don't trust the law enforcement. So yeah, they're very much stuck. But then the issue becomes with sex work is that, okay, yeah, the women might not have that same pressure from an individual, but they might have that pressure from their circumstances in terms of how the fuck am I going to provide for my children?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they have no education, they don't have many skills, or even maybe they do have this, but they just want a better life for themselves, which is human nature to want more.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, I guess in some, I mean, obviously you've got to be lucky still, but in some circles and cities, escorting and sex work presumably is pretty lucrative.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
We've all seen stupid tab articles about how much you can earn at Spearmint Rhino.
I can see why people conflate the two, but it is kind of very important that some distinction is attempted to be drawn, because you need to know that what you're combating when you're trying to formulate anti-trafficking strategies.
Yep.
So there's quite a big division between like feminists in general, where one say, oh my god, sex work, awful, to end trafficking we need to criminalize sex work.
Yeah.
And at the other end, that people say absolutely
definitely gonna help. Let's criminalize the sex workers, the marginalized group.
Yeah, let's put them in prison and make sure that they have a criminal record and then can never get a job in any other industry.
Well, now you've saved them though.
Yeah,
you've
saved
them now. They're saved. Who doesn't feel safe in prison?
Yeah, exactly.
And having no economic security security, what does that even mean? That's nothing to do with being safe.
It might as well about morality and good Christian conservative values. Yes.
Jesus.
Stability of the family.
Woo!
Yes.
We're also not like super pro Jesus, just for the record.
Anti Jesus.
Yeah, in fact. Maybe not Jesus on a personal level, maybe. No. But maybe, you know, maybe using poor Jesus. Poor Jesus as a scapegoat for
cunting behaviour.
Cunting around, literally, don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah,
literally,
exactly.
Don't. Like he said it.
If you were a Christian, you wouldn't do that.
Fucking,
you wouldn't say Jesus said no sodomy, would you?
Yeah, no.
No, you wouldn't.
No, bad. Good. So anyway,
where were we?
Not criminalising sex work. And even fucking. Even if even just pushing it to the side in any way is obviously just not helpful, is it? Because, I think it's one of the Scandi countries maybe has criminalised the, Johns.
Sweden.
As it were, is it Sweden? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, is still not helpful. Because the women are still having to do it in dodgy places so that the men don't get caught. And blah, blah, blah. Obviously, generalisation, there wouldn't be men. There are men in sex work.
There are non-women, non-men in sex work.
Yeah, non-binary genders. People, all sorts of others, in fact, just bad generalisation, actually. Just the people.
Scrap that.
Yeah, we'll just scrap it. The people, still pushes them to the edges of society, into the darkest corners, into the this and that. And, it's dangerous. Bad Sweden.
So Sweden...
Usually so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, explain us.
They've really fucked up there, so... Basically, we have the UK and the US in the middle, and what they do is they don't criminalise the activity of sex workers in terms of actually selling sex, but they criminalise related activities. So, for example...
Solicitation,
yeah. And then at one end of the spectrum, we have Sweden, who have the neo-abolitionist model, and that's basically fucking everything to do with sex work and making it so hard for them to operate.
Mm.
And in making them so vulnerable, because, as you said, they have to operate underground if they're... Not because they're at risk of arrest or prosecution, but because the Johns are.
Yeah, and their clients obviously aren't going to come and have sex with them in broad daylight in a park if they're going to get arrested for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, good intentions behind it, but it's obviously not going to work and it's shit. And then, at the other end of the scale, we have the Dutch model, the legalisation model, which is also pretty shit as well, because it doesn't just say, okay, sex workers, do what you want, we'll protect you when we can... It doesn't do that. What it does is create a business out of sex work where the power goes to the pimps, and it just legitimizes exploitation in a way that isn't beneficial to the sex workers. It doesn't give them any control over what they're doing. It just provides some legitimacy to trafficking, basically. So the great model we have is the New Zealand model, and this is the decriminalisation model.
Okay, yeah.
So what they say is, okay, everything to do with sex work in terms of buying sex, selling sex, this is all legal. But instead of going too far, as the Dutch model does, and saying, okay, we're going to create this business and regulate it, they're just like, what we're going to do is just make it safe. And we're going to make sure that sex workers are treated as workers and they have workers' rights and they're entitled to, you know, basic health and safety. But beyond that, they're not saying, okay, we're going to create this massive trade in it. They're just treating sex workers like people.
Wow.
And it gives them...
Crazy.
Yeah, people. Sex workers are people. Women are people.
Wow. Yeah. What? Sorry?
Yeah. Women are people.
Wow.
Conclusion number 3.
Wow, guys. Yeah. Breaking ground today.
Yeah.
So then, if you're shocked by the fact that women are people, you have to stop listening.
Yeah.
The rest of this could be educational, but if you're shocked by that, you actually have to go.
Yeah. You're not going to learn. You're too far gone.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so New Zealand. That's who we should be copying there.
Yes. Which is another thing I say. Also not a hard conclusion to have come to.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. I mean, we've done it. We've done 16 minutes and we've come to like 3 or 4 pretty big conclusions so far.
It wasn't hard to get there, so I don't know what the fuck government is doing or...
Oh, here we go. That was it. Governments are bad.
Government's bad. Again.
We've worked that one out again.
Again.
From first principles, guys. Yeah. Twice in 16 minutes. Governments are bad. Wow. Fair then.
But Alex, do we have an alternative? Put it on you for a second.
Oh, to governments?
Yeah, what?
Gosh.
Yeah. What is the solution here?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, you know, I've, second book plug. I've been reading Sapiens, which is pretty sick. And it's, yeah, it's been very cool learning about how, like, kind of pre-society societies were. You know, we used to operate in bands of kind of like maybe 12 to 150 people. You know that thing about past 150 people is more than you can like keep good relationships with? Have you heard that?
No.
Reasonably, I think it's reasonably accepted that it's kind of like, yeah, there's a certain point where you stop being able to, you know, you can't be like best friends with 300 people. You just can't because there's too much like you'd have to do in terms of social dynamics. But yeah, so I don't know. So they had kind of pretty small, you know, governments from our... Didn't they? I mean, I don't know. A government is obviously a necessary evil in some sense. It's just cunty governments are bad, aren't they? So, I mean, like, New Zealand's government, I guess, is being good right now in some sense.
Yeah,
Finland's government is good in a lot of senses, you know? Like, this and that. The UK is good in very few. The US in even fewer.
None.
Pretty much.
Oh, guns, though. Great.
Love guns, love guns, love guns, love guns. Nearly as much as we love Jesus. Guns are sick. I bet you Jesus had guns. I bet you he loved guns.
I bet his arms were guns.
Probably. Fucking probably. Or do you know what? Actually, no, he didn't have guns, did he? But if he had, the fucking Romans wouldn't have got him. All right? Obviously, because guns protect you. Guns save lives.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
That's the noise a gun makes when it's saving your life. good times. Okay, so decriminalisation of sex work is good.
Important.
Decriminalisation we should do for a lot of things.
Yeah.
We should also do it for drugs. I think for fairly similar reasons.
Yeah, pretty much. It just pushes it underground, makes it more dangerous for those that do partake in such activities.
Literally, why do we want to make things dangerous for people? Why would we do that? Like, do you like crime? Then why don't you like legal drugs?
Oh my god, and another issue, which kind of distinguishes the decriminalisation of drugs from sex trafficking and all that shit, is the fact that our prisons are so fucking overburdened by people who are getting prison sentences for non-violent drug crimes.
Literally, what the fuck? What the fuck?
And all it does is make it so much worse.
How is that helpful? Like,
just
what,
ruins
you find
their
some
life.
17-year-old kid with a fucking, you know, bag of weed and you put him in prison. How's that helpful?
Oh, even like some pills. So what if he wanted to sell some pills at a festival? Okay, maybe not an ideal thing to do. But how is putting him in prison helping that?
I just don't understand
how?
It.
How?
Literally baffling. Literally, like, we just... I just don't know. Actually, this is one I just really don't know what we're thinking. Like, how do we not think rehabilitation is a good thing? Surely, if something is broken, right, you would rather fix it than just put it in your cupboard until your cupboard is full of broken things. Like, slightly dehumanising, that's not meant to be. Yeah. My fucking point is, if you think someone is behaving in a way that is damaging to society, why would you not try and make them behave in a way... Mm. That is beneficial to society, rather than just, what, lock them in a cell with other people who you don't think are being very good to society. Like, there are some people out there who are cunts. Like, some people are, all right? Yeah. Hitler, prime example. Donald Trump, prime example.
Theresa May,
prime example. Fucking, you know, there are a lot of people who are dickheads, but some of them, you can help them not be dickheads. Like, surely.
Yeah, I mean, they've had shit lives and they might not have had shit lives, that's stereotyping, but, you know... Give people a fucking chance, don't just put them in prison.
Yeah, like, literally.
It's, in a way, it's a death sentence, because it's saying, okay, from now on, your life is going to be way more shit than it was ever going to be before.
Everyone's going to see that when you apply for a job, they're allowed to fucking ask. Like,
your
life
will never be the same.
Your sentence gets cleared, which for some people will be forever. Like, you just, you know, yeah, you suddenly, you can't have a job, you can't get a loan, you can't get a fucking house, you can't do anything. Like, you've done it. You've cut them out of society. For some people, for minimal things, literally non-violent. Like, if you haven't actually hurt another person...
And didn't intend to, and...
Then what have you done?
Yeah.
Like, what have you done? You've offended someone's moral sensibilities?
Yeah. Like, what? We criticise Commonwealth countries and other countries for having these things called offences against morality. Like, explicitly saying that in legislation. We're like, oh, that's so old-fashioned to have that still. That's what our law basically fucking is. It just doesn't say it.
Like, literally, when Theresa is like, oh, okay. No, just the whole of the Conservatives. You know, when they fired, what was his face? The drug czar? Who did lectures at UCL?
No.
You know, the amazing guy?
Mind blank. What? Who was this guy? When did you go to his lectures?
Yeah.
Was I still...
No, this is actually so bad. Oh my God, David Nutt.
Never
Professor David Nutt.
The governor's chief drug advisor. What a title.
He's amazing. He's been working in Imperial for the last few years, I think.
Why did they...
They fired him because he did a report for the government that they asked him to do on the dangers of drugs. And he was like, well, I mean, a lot of them aren't very dangerous. And maybe you should decriminalise them. And then they fired him.
And he was lecturing at UCL.
Yeah, he works at Imperial. He's a fucking professor. He's a genius. You know?
And what's he? It says here he's what, like, what are the maths here? No.
Just also...
He's, like, in his late 60s, isn't
he? Yeah.
So, you know, like, the generational thing is not an excuse, is it? It's like, how much can you use your fucking brain?
Yeah, Drugs Without the Hot Air won the Transmission Prize for Communicating Science in 2014. He's a great guy.
Have you read it?
Such a good lecturer. I haven't read the book. But he really was fantastic. It was just a bit of a nut. And then I'm pretty sure the drugs advisor after him... was fired as well.
Are they I guess, well, if they're employing clever people to do this, they're just going to come to the same conclusion.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to have
to
fire them. Do you know who's going to be the drug advisor? Michael fucking Gove or Jeremy Hunt. That's who they're going to get in next.
Literally, lol. Michael Gove's a fucking idiot, as is fucking Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah, gosh,
this has been quite a charged episode. Why is everything in the world so sad? Why are they all so bad?
I know.
Literally, but yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? It's a moral thing. Theresa was like, you know, we had a thing earlier in the year, and she was just like, well, yeah, you know, I've read the evidence, but that's just not what we support. You know, the Conservative government loves to criminalise people for not crimes. So it's great. In Portugal, since they decriminalised all drugs, all of them, even like, you know, heroin, which obviously everyone's the most terrified about, all right? Fucking HIV went down. All sexually transmitted diseases went down because people weren't having to sit in alleys using dirty needles. Fucking, obviously, crime went way down. Because where's all the money going to? If, you know, someone on the street buys some drugs off someone, that money is going to legitimate crime. That money is going to people who buy weapons and who traffic people and so on. Whereas if you decrim it and you have little, you know, sweet cannabis clubs in the centre of Spain where, you know, everyone just pays a little membership fee and, you know... plays pool together while they're baked, the money doesn't go to criminals. Like,
who does it go to? Private?
Simple. Like, just, you know, the people like running the building. So in the decrim places, it's just like you like set up a, like, you know, you set up a cannabis club, and it's just like a little private members club, basically, where all they do is just get baked and watch TV and like play pool and football. And it just goes towards the running of the club, you know? If you're somewhere like Dam, I guess, you know, the coffee shops and so on are just private businesses. Mm. It's just kind of going into the economy.
Yeah.
Going into the economy. Being taxed. You can then raise more money to, like, I don't know, fund the NHS. What a crazy idea, Jeremy Cunt.
I mean, I'm sure most people would happily pay taxes on their drugs if it can guarantee that the drug is going to be safe and that they're not going to go to prison.
And you're not funding organised crime.
Yeah.
It just seems like a pretty simple win-win. Alas, I guess. Alas. Speaking of prisons, zoos, what's your view?
Not a fan.
Yeah, I kind of realised this. I haven't been to a zoo for like a year and a half, couple years, because I kind of realised actually how bad is that.
Yeah, every time I did go, I was kind of like, why the fuck is there a really sad polar bear there? And then when I stopped eating animals, I was like, what, if I don't support the eating of animals, I don't support the imprisonation of animals either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah, it's sad. One thing that obviously is great is animal sanctuaries.
Yeah, that's cool.
But some do claim to be animal sanctuaries, and actually now it's the fucking zoo. Like,
Do animals have rights?
Well, not under the current law, but they should.
Yeah. I mean, another, you know, big thing from Sapiens. I don't know, it's just interesting reading about it from that kind of really base evolutionary perspective. But I mean, this isn't shocking, and this is a standard conclusion anyway, but I mean, we're fucking animals.
Yeah.
Like,
why are we better just because we can...
Literally, why do we think we're so amazing?
Yeah, and it becomes...
Like, hello, have you met dogs? We talk to dogs.
Yeah.
People
talk to cats.
But I mean, like... And actually, no, even cats to an extent, right? But I mean, like, literally, how well you can communicate with a dog.
Yeah.
A dog you've known for 10 years. You can communicate with it. It can communicate with you, all right? Like, gorillas and orangutans can learn fucking good sign language. You know, like, they're fucking real. The fucking, you know, they get upset. They get scared. Like, why would we be dicks?
That's what it comes down to. Like, why cause someone else pain? Or
right?
Okay, someone least use of the word, but another being that can feel pain. Why do something really cunty like put them in an exhibition and go look at them and they're clearly sat there sad.
Yeah.
It's just mean.
It's mean.
It does. You don't need to really go into the morality of it too much. Just like, don't lock big fat gorillas up in a tiny enclosure.
Yeah, it seems
don't
pretty
do
simple.
That. Like, why?
Seem pretty simple. How long have you been vegan for?
Only since the 1st of January, but...
Okay, how long have you been veggie for?
Maybe 2 years now.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. No plans to return.
Valid.
So, as we were saying earlier, it's not
Has
hard to be vegetarian.
Has your life changed for the worst? Is it really super difficult now?
No.
Because,
not
what
at all.
What a surprise.
No. Like, yes. I take more supplements to make sure I don't get
anemic. What stuff do you take?
Just iron
stuff. Just like
iron
supplements.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, I could get those supplements very easily on a vegan diet. It's just the fact that I can't be bothered to eat loads of spinach all the time. Like, sometimes I just want to eat...
Spinach super high in iron. Yeah. Cool.
Like, to be a very healthy vegan, you have to be very, very conscious of what you eat.
Fair, yeah. I mean, veganism is a lot more difficult than veganism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Veganism. Oh.
Veganism.
Yeah, that's the other one. It's
veganism.
Fine. Okay, interesting, yeah.
Mm. Me and Alex had vegan dinner, except Alex added butter.
I put some butter in, yeah, it was a bit bad.
Not to mine, just to his.
No. But we had some Linda McCartney sausages, which were sick.
Yeah, as always.
Literally shout out.
Yeah. Thanks,
love you, Linda.
Woo!
Woo! We actually love Linda.
Love Linda. As in, we're not being sarcastic.
Yeah, we're not being sarcastic.
Come
like Jesus and guns. Yeah, woo!
Actual love Linda.
Woo! Yeah, nice. We had those. We had some sweet potato mash, some 10% brock, a pepper.
Yeah, red.
Yeah, red pepper. Yeah.
And everything was cooked in coconut oil.
Yeah, it was lovely. Because that's a really good vegan substitute for butter.
Yeah.
And it still tastes lovely.
Yeah. I'd say better than butter.
Yeah, fair. You know, yeah. I actually kind of would probably agree.
Some people have it on their toast, I know, as well.
Oh, interesting.
I guess the texture's very different. Like, you don't get the creamy, buttery,
yeah,
really nice.
Yeah, the texture's different. But
I mean, you get some
fair,
kind of sweetness, the sogginess.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost.
No, you could do that. Everyone, yeah. You could do that. You could do it. Yeah, wow, cool, okay. Wow, great. Well, we've been about 30 minutes, which is a few minutes longer than Henry got. I do think we have kind of tackled slightly more complex issues.
Yeah.
You would probably say.
Yeah, very big issues that we have kind of talked about the basics, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to cover. Yeah, if you're interested, you know, hit us up and we'll give you a link for the International Journal of Human Rights.
Yeah.
Where you can read future Professor Daniel Warden. Great. Well, thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Alex Powell's app too. See you a bit sooner than 6 weeks, I reckon. Au revoir.
Bye.